play-by-play coverage of Silver Streaks boys basketball on WGIL is brought to you in part by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. All together better. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Dave's Auto Body. You better call Dave's. By McDonald's, I'm loving it. Craddy Insurance. One office for all your insurance needs. Galesburg Nissan, now located at 2080 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. Breed Love Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. And by Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. And now, the WGIL broadcast team of Brad Benowitz and Jim Lee with Silver Streaks Basketball on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Let's go to public address announcer Gary Mitchell.
Katie and son Zeke and the rest of his family and friends.
As we honor the family of Jason Gray here for Pink Out Night at John Thiel Gymnasium.
And now, would you all please rise and remove your hats? Flag waver tonight is senior Lily Pogue. She is the daughter of Matt and Nicole Pogue. She has earned varsity letters in swimming and cheerleading. Her clubs and activities, she is secretary of student council. She's in care, reading buddies, Spanish club, project graduation, yearbook, and G club. Her academic honors, she's on the National Honor Society and high honor roll. Her athletic honors, four-time varsity letterman in swimming, swim team captain, two-time state qualifier, two-time all-conference winner, Triple G award winner. She plans to attend the University of Missouri and double major in personal and financial planning and marketing and advertising. Senior Lily Pogue.
Lily Pogue recognized as the flag bearer tonight. We'll have the national anthem and then pink out ceremonies here at John Thiel Gymnasium. Back down to public address announcer Gary Mitchell with today's pregame announcements and starting lineups.
Conference game tonight, only Maroons versus our own Milburg Silver Street. The starting lineup for the Maroons, the 6 foot senior, number 3, Drew Owens. 5'10" sophomore, number 10, Tyler Biscatine. 6 foot senior, number 20, Jed Wood. 6'6" junior, number 34, Brandon Weiss. And a 6'4" senior, number 44, Derek Stabler. Assistant coach, Mr. Dave Fowler. And the head coach of the Maroons, Mr. Jeff Schimmel. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the starting lineup for your Galesburg Silver Streaks.
Number 1, a 5'10" senior guard, Diggins, Trevon Diggins. 6 foot freshman guard, number 4, Meeker, Ethan Meeker. 6'1" senior guard, number 11, Cheeseman, Carson Cheeseman. And a 6'2" sophomore guard, number 32, Gibson, Grant Gibson. And a 6'5" senior forward, number 40, Ryan Carl. And assistant coaches for the Streaks, Mr. Steve Cheeseman, Mr. Ryan Hart, and Mr. Matt Pogue. And the honorary coach this evening is Mr. Mark Meeker. And the head coach of the Streaks, Mr. Mike Reynolds. At this time, we'll call on Coach Gray's son, Zeke, who will present the game ball for tonight's game.
And Coach Mike Reynolds saying in the pregame show how much Zeke looks forward to doing that and how much he enjoys being a part of these ceremonies.
What a neat moment. I just think of Jason somewhere smiling down seeing what just happened. That's neat.
And the fact that his memory lives on. And
absolutely.
As Mike Reynolds said, we've all been touched by cancer in one way or another, so we can all appreciate what's happening here tonight. The Silver Streaks in the pink trim in their home whites. A pass down low to Carson Cheeseman, who goes up with the shot. It rolls through, and he's fouled. That ball hung on the rim for seconds before it finally dropped through. And the Streaks are on the board. And of all people, it's Carson Cheeseman averaging less than a point a game who gets the first basket.
Well, I think they caught him by surprise, posting Carson down low there. And let's hope that that ball falling through the rim is a sign of things to come tonight for the Silver Streaks.
Finishes off the free throw as well. And Carson struggles from the free throw line at only 36% on the season. So just about couldn't ask for a better start here tonight with Galesburg on top of the Moline Maroons, to come in with an overall record of 13-9, but just 1-4 in the Western Big Six. Here's a fadeaway in the lane. Shot off the back of the rim by Weiss and the rebound by Ryan Carl. Into the front court comes Cheeseman. Galesburg sophomores fell tonight by a final of 56-51. They're 6-14 on the season now. Diggins on the left wing, top of the circle to Carl. Sidesteps left, reverses back to Cheeseman on the right, just in front of the Maroons bench. Here's Meeker for three off the back of the rim, and the rebound by Drew Owens for Moline. Maroons have played well here as of late, despite their 1-4 conference record. They did just get their first conference win of the year last week against East Moline, as Weiss dribbles it off his foot. Turnover to the Silver Streaks. Gibson at the free throw line banks it in. Galesburg on top, 5-0. And this big crowd here at Thiel Gym is energized with this start.
Not sure Grant called bank on that, but had plenty of strength on it from the free throw line. His momentum was going forward. The shot was true and straight, and so it banked straight in.
Owens picks up his dribble inside the top of the circle, and now gets it behind him to Tyler Biscontine. Wasn't even on the varsity roster when we played up at Moline back in early December, but he's there now, and he's made a big impact for this team since joining them in the last dozen games or so.
Well, obviously Mike Reynolds has respect in putting Trevon Diggins on Biscontine because he's our number one defender.
Leaning in, a shot of the high post won't go down for Jed Wood, but he is fouled. Little hand check pushing him off balance. Foul on the floor, though, will not put Wood at the free throw line. First foul of the game on Grant Gibson, who fouled out of a game for the first time all season on Monday night in the King tournament finale against Kankakee. Backing his way in, Weiss puts a body on Ryan Carl, backs him off, frees him up with a shot up and in. Moline's on the board down 5-2, 6 minutes to go first quarter.
That's a pretty big body, too, at 6'6". Weiss, just a junior, will be a handful next year if he continues to improve.
Meeker cut off on the baseline, throws it over Gibson's head into the backcourt. And now we've got Grant Gibson trying to sell it to the official, saying that Drew Owens touched it. It just went over Owens' head. Now we got an official from the near side on the sideline saying it was not touched. That is the right call. Galesburg turns it over.
Yeah, I had already marked the turnover down as the ball was going into the backcourt, and then when he picked it up and there was no whistle, I thought, really? I must have missed something. Well, apparently they did get it right. I think Mike Reynolds was like Grant Gibson, trying to sell something that wasn't there that time.
They sold it hard, though, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Under the basket, Biscontine, the sophomore, on the inbound to the left wing. Wide open Wood for three, and we're tied at 5.
Just that quick, you get comfortable with a 5 spot right off the start. Moline on 2 straight possessions, answers back.
3 seniors, a junior, and a sophomore in the starting lineup for the Maroons. Diggins down low. There's Cheeseman again on the low blocks, but he's covered up this time, trying to duck out. Gets it away to Meeker. Open for three, and it's off the back of the rim. Diggins in the lane with a rebound. Up. That one is short. Over to Grant Gibson. That one is good. Galesburg back on top now. 7-5.
Well, Galesburg with 3 rebounds there, and we actually out-rebounded Moline in that last get-together. We had 35 rebounds in the game, I think about 27 or 8 for Moline. So even though the Maroons are bigger inside for the most part, we had our way on the boards up at Wharton Fieldhouse.
Biscontine, covered up by Diggins, gets it back out to Owens between the circles. 5 to play here in the first quarter. Galesburg on top by 2. Owens, bounce pass down to the low blocks. Easy look for Josh Larson. Gets it up and in for his first basket. We're tied at 7.
Yeah, defense really over-pursued to the ball that time. Left him an easy layup.
into the front court on the left wing. Diggins lofts it back behind him to Meeker. Now right side under the wing, Cheeseman. Gibson in the corner will dribble it back out, and he stepped on the sideline. Good defense there by Drew Owens, and the Silver Streaks turn it over.
Well, it was a 10-point win for Galesburg last time, but it was one of those we just gradually pulled away there late in the ball game. It was a 2-point game at the half, 30-28, 6 points at the three quarters. So these teams played pretty even though Galesburg ended up winning it by double digits.
Owens with the dribble between the circles. Moline looking for its first lead of the game. We're tied at 7, 4:20 to go in this first quarter. Bouncing it right side, tripping and falling, a travel call. Joe Williams came into the game. Wood ran into him. Their legs kind of got tangled up with each other, and he flopped down to the deck pretty hard, one of those floor rattlers that Jim feels, that he's commented on before about how he feels those harder.
Every year I feel it more when I see those guys pound the floor. And I think Jeff Schimmel was wondering why no call there too.
Tough turnover on Wood. Here's Diggins down the right side, pulls up with a teardrop, won't go, gets his own rebound, back to Gibson at the free throw line, poked away, double team, reach in and a tie up called as Wood tied him up, and the Streaks give it right back. So Grant off to a rough start here in this game, although he does have 4 points, but he also has a foul, and he's turned it over on two straight possessions. You can tell Moline is just attacking him every time he gets the ball.
Well, the senior Carson Cheeseman over had a word with Grant. I think told him, hey, keep cool head about this. It's early in the ball game. I like what Carson, the leadership he showed over there in addressing Grant right off the bat.
On the left side, Weiss. Now he's going to back up as Ross pushes him toward the Galesburg bench. Now into the front corner, Biscontine trying to drive on Diggins, cuts him off. Left side, here's Wood for three. Air ball, but he's fouled as Joe Williams comes over too late, picks up his first, and that's going to be three free throws coming for Jed Wood.
So far, the tempo through this first quarter has favored Moline. If we're just going to go up and down in half court, advantage probably goes to the Maroons. We need to find a way to get out and go a little bit, get this more of a full court game.
Wood makes the first free throw, and Moline has its first lead of the game now at 8-7. Again, sophomores fell tonight 56-51. Junior Streaks out of the seventh grade played during halftime of the sophomore game. Of course, it's senior night for the cadets, as we mentioned, along with Pink Out Night. Just all kinds of happenings here at John Thiel Gym, and it's led to a big crowd. It's gone a little silent here with Moline taking its first lead at 9-7 as Wood makes the first two, misses the last one. Marcus Ross pulls down the rebound for Galesburg. Here's Cheeseman bringing it across midcourt. At the top high post, Ross covered up on a double team, skips it over the top to Cheeseman. Into the lane, Diggins covered up. He'll skip it back out to Ross. Now Gibson on the right side, over to Cheeseman. Wide open from the corner, overthrows the ball, or the rim rather. Ross on the weak side with a rebound. And then Williams in the lane gets pushed as the Streaks continuing to attack the basket, getting offensive rebounds. And Joe gets fouled going to the basket. He's going to get two free throws here.
Yeah, Cheeseman's shot was over the rim from the corner. I think it surprised Moline as they had underneath position. It allowed Marcus Ross to be able to save it back inbounds and get a second crack at it here.
Williams to the free throw line, makes the first one. His first point of the game coming in off the bench. Joe started all four games of the King tournament here tonight. He's coming back in off the bench. Second one is good. I really like Joe coming in off the bench. This ties the game at 9 with both free throws. It's just so nice to have that defensive weapon and a bit of an offensive weapon coming in off the bench as well, as Moline with a bad pass turns it over onto the baseline.
Yeah, and some guys just flourish more in sitting and watching a couple of minutes and then bringing that energy in. And Joe's just a sophomore. He may not always be in that role. I think he's going to, you know, be called upon to be a starter as his career goes along. But right now, you're right, Brad. He seems to fit in that six-man role a little more comfortably.
Diggins with it on the left side, draws a double team, gets it back to Williams now between the circles, dribbling right, throws it up over Grant Gibson, kind of mistimed his jump a little bit, but Joe's pass was too high either way, and he threw it out of bounds for the third Galesburg turnover.
Mike Reynolds has a scowl on his face. I can't blame him, because three of our four turnovers have really been completely unnecessary at this point. Of course, Moline's had a couple of those too.
Under 2:40 to go first quarter. Owens just fires a three and knocks it down. Just worked his way to the right side of the wing. Nobody came out to take a look at him, so he just lofted it up, puts Moline on top. Its biggest lead now at 12-9.
Moline's hit 4 out of 5 from the floor, including their last 4 shots.
Diggins dribbles between a double team, skips it back out to Williams on the dribble, backs up toward half court in the midcourt circle, pushes off on Stabler a little bit. Now swings it back to Joe from Ross. Bounce pass onto the right side. Here's Carson driving in. Cut off. Shovels it underneath, and Ross lays it in.
Nice look by Carson. Way to attack by Marcus on the other side. Streaks within one.
Cheeseman, as we've seen so many teams do, they just lay off him completely, and Carson's doing a good job attacking the basket here. Now here's a bad pass lobbing to the inside. Ross steps in front, intercepts it, steals it away. Galesburg trying to regain the lead. Williams to the free throw line. Back to Cheeseman. Now the outside Ross. Over to Cheeseman on the right wing. Trying to direct traffic from there. Skips it back out to Marcus between the circles. Left side Williams on the wing. Up top to Cheeseman. Again, he steps inside to the free throw line. Dishes it back out to Williams. Under a minute and a half to go. First quarter, Galesburg down by one. Back out to Carson. Guarded by Wood in the man defense. Now left side over to Williams on the sideline. Skips it up top to Gibson. Open look for three. Off the back of the rim. And the long rebound out to Wood. Not a bad look at it for the Streaks there. Still trail by one.
And freed up Gibson. Owens has been in his jersey for the most part, especially when Grant tries to make any sort of a move, but got freed up off the pick but missed the shot.
Right side 15-footer, a little bit long, and the rebound over the back of Gibson, tipped out to Owens. Now right back, dumps it underneath the Weiss, who puts it up and in.
Well, Weiss, you let him hang around the basket, he's going to get a lot of those.
14-11, Moline by three. On the left wing, Williams draws a double team, needs help, skips it over through the lane, batted away. Good defense by Biscontine, intended for Javon Diggins, and Biscontine at 5'10", was able to stretch the arm out enough to bat that one out of bounds. Vashawn Newman, a 5'6 senior, into the game for Moline. Ethan Meeker returns for the Silver Streaks.
Meeker had been in a shooting slump until that final game of the King Tournament. We thought he broke out of it. Like to see him back. He's probably a difference maker in this one if he can hit for the perimeter.
Down low to Gibson, went right at Brandon Weiss and got blocked. Weiss kept it in bounds, came down with a rebound. Here comes Moline leading by three, under 30 seconds to go first quarter. On the right side, this is Newman with it at just 5'6", but a stocky 5'6". Good strong body on him despite his lack of height. Newman will bring it back out, down to 11 seconds to go. Dribbles it all the way around to the left side. Picks up his dribble. Williams gets on top of him. Tries to get it to the inside. Gibson comes away from the backside. Pokes it out of bounds. Moline will have to inbound it toward the end of the Galesburg bench with 3.5 seconds to go in the first quarter. And now Denzel Jones will come into the game. He will replace Gibson, giving him a little extended breather right before the quarter break and to make sure Grant doesn't pick up his second foul. Now Mike Reynolds doing a little barking there with the officials who come over. Jed Wood for Moline had his arms outstretched saying, what's the complaint about?
Well, now they're going to say Galesburg basketball.
Well, Gibson got a hand on it. He came away from the backside, so this is going to give the Streaks a chance to, well, he successfully argued that call. Williams lobs it on the inbound, but a terrible pass picked off by Weiss. Now the Streaks knock it loose under the basket, and that's the end of the first quarter. 14-11 Moline after one. You're listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com. End of the first quarter here at Moline, or at Galesburg rather, with Moline leading the Silver Streaks 14-11. Pink out night here. Sophomores fell by a final of 56-51. Galesburg got off to a good start here, scoring the first 5 points of the game. Moline came back, scored the next five, took the lead at 8-7. We've been tied once since then at 9, and Moline has scored 5 of the final 7 points here in the first quarter to take a 3-point lead. But Silver Streaks will have the ball. Starting the second quarter. Jim, turnovers, they got 5 for Moline and 4 for Galesburg in the first quarter there, right?
I would have had and added another one for the Silver Streaks on that last one.
That's right, yep.
Didn't hurt us any in that case, although we didn't get a shot at the basket. Moline, though, shooting much better. 5 of 7 from the field. The Silver Streaks just 4 out of 10. Moline's got a couple of trays in the game. Streaks without 1 from 3-point land so far. Rebounds just about even at 5-4.
On the outside, Diggins. Right side over to Williams in the corner for three, a little bit long, and the rebound pops out of Tyson Parks' hands, who came in at the quarter break. And Moline will get it back here as we start the second quarter. I had actually 6 rebounds for Galesburg, Jim.
Okay. You know, it's interesting. We were shooting the ball at home better in the season than we are right now. We're getting some nice open looks for our key shooters and just not hitting many from the perimeter.
Streaks need to take advantage of it, too, because they'll be home next weekend, and then that'll be it until regional time, which, you know, we're glad to be home for the regional, but they'll have, what, six games, I think, in a row after the Saturday game next week, in which they'll finish the season on the road. To the free throw line, Brandon Weiss, after getting fouled on the inlet pass on the inside, as Tyson Parks picked up his first foul, and Weiss makes the first free throw. Moline continues to build the lead here early second quarter at 15-11. He makes them both. And Weiss with six in the game now. Six of Moline's 16 points. Maroons lead by five. Just underway in quarter number two. And now a bad pass by Joe Williams over the head of Trevon Diggins on the outside. Another careless pass by Galesburg. Six turnovers now in the early going. And that is one advantage or one area of the game where the Silver Streaks typically have the advantage. They typically take better care of the ball than the opposition, but not so far here tonight.
Well, hopefully we've got a little run in us. We're worried about this because we didn't play particularly well in the King tournament. Granted, we beat Kankakee Monday, but Kankakee really isn't a very good basketball team, so we couldn't put a lot of stock in that. Right now we're still very sluggish offensively.
Newman on the outside for Moline. Weiss, Wood on the floor. Owens and Stabler for the Maroons. Jumping down the lane, Newman gets bumped a little bit in the free throw line. Had a high carry with it and the jump stop. Gets called for the travel. So six turnovers on Moline. The Streaks defense has not let up really very much and has helped force those, helped force that issue.
Well, typical Moline just dropping back into half-court defense. Looks like they're, I don't know. Part of it, I want to say, is a man on the outside, but they're keeping Weiss in the inside right in the middle of the lane all the time.
Grant Gibson lost the handle on it. A pass back behind him with Drew Owens guarding him, and Grant couldn't handle the pass, and he loses it out of bounds. So seven turnovers now in the Streaks. Ryan Carl back into the game replacing Tyson Parks.
And Grant really in a slump right now because of our seven turnovers. He's been in the neighborhood or involved in, I think, five of them right over in the same area of the court.
And Moline capitalizing with a five-point lead here, 16-11. Wood with a long three on the opposite end, drains it. And he's got eight in the game now, and it's 19-11 Moline. Eight for Wood, six for Weiss. Maroons on top, 19-11, 6:20 to go in the first half. Carl at the high post. He'll draw a double team, reverses back, almost no, and over the head of Carson Cheeseman, who went up high for it, off his hand out of bounds.
Maybe timeout time. We look completely lost on offense. All the players are just looking over at Coach Reynolds, and there's nothing flowing. They just seem to be lost, looking around for direction and looking for help out there instead of just playing basketball.
Since being on top 7-5, the Silver Streaks have been outscored 14-4. Inlet pass, backing his way up. Weiss goes left, goes right, shot up, fouled by Ryan Carl. Won't go down, but he gets two more free throws.
And at this stage of the game, Moline is completely dominating this
contest. Yes, they are. So, four team fouls on Galesburg now. Nobody with more than one for the Silver Streaks, but only two team fouls for Moline. Shooting the ball better. Fewer turnovers. Getting to the free throw line.
And making the free throws.
And making the free throws as well. Right. Leading by nine now. Weiss knocked the first one down. He's got seven and the second free throw. Good as well.
Weiss looks very comfortable at the line. We don't want to put him there much tonight. Streaks down by 10, and that looks like a big 10 against this Moline defense, and the Streaks going to talk about it.
It's a 10-0 run, actually a 9-0 run by the Maroons to build this 10-point lead with 5:51 to go in the first half. And still haven't seen a signal here what it's going to be yet, a 30 or a 60, and it'll be a full timeout. 5:51 to go, first half, 21-11, Moline. You're listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
GHS Silver Streaks Basketball and WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, by Office Specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business, and by Chuck Ross of Bell Foster Company, making it happen.
I've checked and rechecked, and it all comes down to the same conclusion.
Don't say it.
It's your turn to clean the coffee pot in the break room.
No!
It's Patsy from Bates Collision Center, proud to join with the rest of the Silver Streaks fans to cheer our team on to another winning season.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
Wear it and win the blue WGIL button. Available at participating sponsors. Details at WGIL.com.
All Moline so far after a fast Galesburg start when the Streak scored the first 5 points. Nothing but maroon domination since then, leading by 10 at 21-11. Just under 6 minutes to go in the first half, so still a lot of ways to go before halftime and certainly for the rest of the game. But the way Galesburg has played so far here tonight, nothing crisp about it as Carson Cheeseman misses a three from the left corner. Drew Owens comes down with a rebound, tries to get it down court, deflected away by Diggins, but picked up by Biscontine. And Moline with a chance to build on the lead, and a foul away from the ball will be against Grant Gibson as he fouls Brian Brinker, who checked in during the timeout break. Oh, they called Trevon. Where is Trevon on that one? That's five team fouls on Galesburg. First of the game on Diggins. 21-11, Moline inbounding the ball. Biscontine from the right of his own basket. Diggins leaping as high as he can, but an eye wide open. Drew Owens blasting down the lane with a pass and the layup, and it's 23-11, Moline by 12.
Well, they're just taking us to school right now. This doesn't all resemble the game we played the first time against the Maroons. They have definitely improved, and I can't say we have at this
Ryan
point.
Carl misses a three on the outside, and a long rebound out to Biscontine for Moline. Making build on a 12-point lead here on a very quiet John Field Gymnasium. Sure didn't start off that way. Right side, Jed Wood. Inlet pass to Weiss. Tries to throw it off brand. Throws it to Brinker. It's deflected away to Biscontine, who picks it up on the baseline. And now they're getting all the 50-50 balls on top of everything else that they're dominating in this aspect of the game. A hold foul called on Meeker is his first.
Yeah, that should have been a turnover, but they were just quicker to the ball, even from a distance. And man, everything is just in slow motion right now for the Silver Streaks as a team.
Mike Reynolds really stalking the sideline down there, too, trying to work off some of that nervous energy and that anger, as he clearly is upset with how this team has responded here tonight. Biscontine makes the first and the second. They have missed only one free throw tonight, leading by 14. They're 6 of 6 in the second quarter, 8 for 9 for the game. And the Silver Streaks still looking for their first points of the quarter, and there it is as Gibson takes it down the right side of the lane, gets a shot up and in off the glass. That snaps a 13-0 Moline run. And the Silver Streaks trail by a dozen. 4.5 minutes to go, second quarter. The comeback starts now, right?
It better get started pretty quick.
Awfully hard to come back against a Moline team that tends to control the game so well. This is a team really coming into its own after a slow start under a new head coach. And a good pass to Brian Brinker on the low block. They haven't missed a shot this quarter, have they, Jim?
Nope, 8 of 10 in the game. They're getting just about everything they want right now, and the Streaks struggling on both ends of the court.
Cheeseman back behind him to Gibson, trying to spin away at the top of the circle. Now Carson driving, takes it all the way, and he draws a foul. Carson much more aggressive, working his way to the basket, and it's helped create a few good things. But I think Moline will certainly let Carson Cheeseman take shots and attack the basket if they can keep Gibson and maybe Williams and Meeker quiet.
Yeah, well, that sure looks like their game plan, because they're giving Carson just about anything he wants until he gets closer to the basket as he misses the first free throw there. But boy, Grant Gibson, what a turnaround after having 38 and just trashing Moline up there at Wharton Fieldhouse. He's had a very off night in just about every area of the game so far.
Carson makes the second of the two free throws. 27-14, Galesburg down by 13, and a timeout called by the Maroons. A 30-second timeout with 3:59. We're just past the midway point here, quarter number two.
Well, you got to take your hat off to Jeff Schimmel and company and the Moline coaching staff. They obviously have done a nice job preparing their team for this ball game. 13-point difference. Still 4 minutes to go in the second quarter. You'd hate to go into the locker room down more than 10, though, I would think. Moline doesn't seem to have the scoring droughts that they had earlier in the season. They were looking for their identity scoring, and not just against us, but I know against a number of teams, they went prolonged periods without scoring any points. Now, yeah, they seem to be a lot more crisp, and certainly the addition of the sophomore Biscontine, as you just saw in the last trip down, he made a nice assist in the lane, and so they've got to, looks like they've got their act together, and they're playing good ball.
Owens will inbound from the left of his own basket. Williams will guard him on the inbound with Jones, Diggins, Cheeseman, and Gibson. Now they go with the length of the court pass. It's caught by Stabler at the other end, and he beats Grant Gibson to the basket.
Well, Stabler really faked out Jones that time. Jones was heading towards the ball initially, and then he took one step forward, and then he went back. Stabler did, and nobody caught him. Touchdown pass.
Yep, that's right. 15-point lead. Here's Williams taking it all the way right at Stabler. He gets blocked, and Stabler comes down with the rebound. And now the Silver Streaks force a turnover at the other end. Denzel Jones comes away with it. Down the lane, past Stabler, up off the glass, won't go. Gibson with a putback. He gets blocked from behind, and it's out of bounds back to Galesburg. So the Silver Streaks been blocked three times now in the last two possessions. On the inbound, out high. They'll go to Williams. Now he'll pull up, shoots over Stabler, miss, gets his own miss. Rebound putback is good. Well, by pulling up, he was still open in the lane when the rebound came back to him. Well, and he follows it up.
Inability of our bigger players, Ross, and there's an offensive foul and an elbow as Owens hits Joe Williams, but inability of really Marcus Ross and Ryan Carl to give us any presence inside against this Moline team. We need our big players to step up and play big against Moline, and neither one of them are giving us any offense. In fact, they're both on the bench right now, so we've got a lot of smaller guys who are just trying to pull up in the lane and make some shots work that way.
Well, you mentioned Moline's size in the pregame. Jim Weiss goes 6'6", Stabler goes 6'4", but it's a big 6'4" with the reach that he has, and Weiss, from our perch up about halfway over the court, looks even a little bigger than 6'6" from where we look at it.
Sure does.
Williams on the outside, loses the handle on the dribble, gets it right side over to Cheeseman, fakes the three, kicks it back out to Joe, open for three, and that one's off the front of the rim. Jones with a rebound, now he drives, pump fake up and in. Well, Silver Streaks getting a few more shots and some offensive rebounds to boot, which is helping out. Denzel Jones' first basket of the game, and now another turnover. Williams driving, fouled by Owens on his way to the basket. Streaks picking it up here, turning things into their favor a little bit as they crawl back into this game. Still down 11, and Williams going to the free throw line.
Yeah, Owens got a little careless over there, and Joe Williams made him pay, and then Owens heard it from his coach, Jeff Schimmel, too, not very happy with that turnover.
And it certainly doesn't help that he picked up his second foul as well.
Yep.
But Williams missed the first free throw. Galesburg down 11, 29-18. The Silver Streak team comes in overall shooting just over 62% from the free throw line. So that definitely needs to improve. Williams at just over 63%, much better on the second one. He's got 5 points now, and Galesburg cuts the lead to 10, 29-19. Newman in the backcourt as Owens sits down. Here's another near turnover, and Williams over the back of Newman with the long reach and the size advantage gets called for crawling up his back a little bit. Otherwise, the Streaks had forced another turnover, but instead it's the second foul on Joe, and the seventh team foul on the Streaks puts Newman at the line for a 1-1.
Now, we did the right thing there as far as Joe just kept him right in front, and then Denzel came over from the backside. I think anytime Newman's got the ball, you're going to see that because he's not that strong of a ball handler. But Joe just, you know, a lot of officials don't call that one, but I can see where he does, reaching over from the top there.
And the Silver Streaks with a size advantage, too, at Newman, only 5'6".
Oh, yeah.
He misses the free throw, and Jones gets the rebound, and then Newman comes flying down the lane and just grabs Jones under the basket. As Denzel picked up his second rebound, and that's only the 16th foul on Moline, so the Silver Streaks have taken the length of the court here.
Yeah, Newman, nope, he didn't last very long as
nope.
Owens is back in.
So let's see if the Streaks take it right at Owens, because he's out there with two fouls now, and Jim, you mentioned in the pregame show that he's the heart of this team.
Yeah, yeah. Even though he's not called upon to be as big a scorer as he was early in the season, he's still the guy, probably their lockdown defender and a good captain.
Grant Gibson down the right side of the lane, up strong with a one hand, and he stayed away from the big trees underneath to avoid the block. So now Galesburg down 8 at 29-21. Pressure in the backcourt as Owens will bring it across midcourt with 2 minutes to go in the first half, 29-21. Owens lost it in the backcourt. They're going to say Gibson poked it away. So no over and back now into the hands of Biscontine. Driving left, Diggins cuts him off, reverses back to Owens at the top of the circle, tried to spin away. Gibson picked his pocket. Owens knocked it loose. Diggins picks it up, lost it into the front court. There's Cheeseman off the floor. Underneath the basket, Williams right through his legs and out of bounds, and the Streaks turned it over.
Well, that's too bad. A golden opportunity
sure was.
Created by Grant Gibson. Nice job defensively to force that turnover. But as so often happens, we get in transition and we just don't finish well, and there was another case of that.
What were there, about 23 turnovers on that possession, if you count how close that they could have been? Everybody having a hard time handling the ball, just how hard they were fighting for it, and how desperately the Streaks wanted to get out in transition, just couldn't get it going. So still an 8-point Moline lead. Maroons with the ball. Down low, Weiss skips it back out to Biscontine. Acted like he was going to shoot it from 26 feet away. Now he dribbles inside, and a foul called, I think, on Denzel Jones on Wood. I'm going to call Denzel for the push, and that's not the good guy to send to the free throw line. Wood will go there. He's got 8 points tonight. First foul of the game on Jones. 1-1 here for the senior guard. Trying to get Moline to the 30-point mark with a minute and a half to go in the first half, and he does. That will not make Mike Reynolds very happy either, giving up 30 points and a half.
No, because he always says if we give up 60-plus, we're probably not going to win. We're halfway there for Moline. Although we have been frustrating them a little bit more here with some pressure defense in the last few minutes.
Now, second free throw by Wood rolls off. Grant Gibson comes down with a rebound. So Galesburg down 9 with the ball, trying to edge a little closer here after trailing by 15 here in the second quarter. Trying to find an opening in that 2-3 zone. Meeker skips it up top left over to Williams on the wing. Joe will back up, working his way right. Now left corner, Gibson drives baseline. He'll pull it up with one hand, comes up a little bit short. And Weiss comes down with a rebound for Moline. Streaks reaching in, trying to slap it out of his hands, but the strong center hangs on to it. Moline with the ball now under a minute to go first half, leading by 9. Quick inlet pass down low and a bad pass. Brinker really could have stepped to the basket and had a chance to lay it in, but instead he tried to go one extra pass and threw it too hard at Weiss, who was standing about 3 feet away from him and out of bounds.
Well, Silver Streaks, usually when we play Moline, we see against a zone defense, but we're going to continue to see a lot of that this year. The word has gotten around. Those zones really frustrate us because we're not big enough really to get much done inside. We're not shooting well enough from the perimeter to burn them from the outside. And so those zones are problematic right now.
On the right side, this is Meeker with it. They give him room to shoot. He does. He misses it off the back of the rim. Then Brinker knocks the rebound free, picked up off the floor by Stabler.
Certainly created an opportunity to get back in this game, but we're not taking advantage of it.
Down to 25 seconds to go first half. 30-21, Moline trying to get the lead back up to double digits, heading to the locker room. Gibson nearly pokes it away, out of the hands briefly by Stabler. He gets it before half court. Now Biscontine and Diggins fall down. Here's a deflected pass, goes out of bounds on the sideline, and Galesburg touched it last. So the Streaks getting a hand on the ball, creating some havoc in there for Moline, but the Maroons still hanging on to it with just under 11 seconds to go before halftime. Now, that's a bit of a surprise. Jeff Schimmel's going to put Drew Owens back into the game with those two fouls and 10.7 seconds to go on the clock. I would think he would just leave him on the bench with a 9-point lead. And I understand he wants his offense out there, but you don't want him picking up his third foul either. On the inbound, it goes into the backcourt to Wood with 9 seconds to go. Wood dribbling around the screen set by Weiss, reverses directions back toward the top of the arc, and a reach-in foul called.
Not a good foul.
On Carson Cheeseman, and that's going to put him at the line for two free throws. First foul on Carson, and the 10th team foul on Galesburg leads to a double bonus for Jed Wood and a chance for him to get into double figures with 9 points and two free throws with 4.8 seconds to go before halftime. Also gives Moline a chance to get that double-digit lead back, and the first free throw is good. 31-21 Moline.
Give the Maroons credit. They just sucked the life right out of this gymnasium from probably the biggest crowd we've had this season, Silver Streak fans. Moline brought a pretty good contingent with them as well, as usual. But big house, but big disappointment so far for Galesburg.
Misses the second. Gibson with the rebound. Down to 3 seconds to go. At half court with one, he's going to fire a long three, and the officials wave it off. One said it. One right in front of Grant said it was going to count, but the other official waved it off. So either way, Galesburg down 10 at the break. When we come back, we'll take a look at some scores around the Western Big Six. Take a look at our first half statistics here as Mike Reynolds works the officials before heading to the locker room. Silver Streaks down by 10. You're listening to Galesburg High School Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
A lot of daily repetitive motion can lead to loss of range of motion, causing you pain. Sarah Haynes, physical therapist for OSF St. Mary Medical Center, specializes in exercise to help relieve back pain.
The McKenzie Method is a self-treatment program. So the patient is given exercises and postural correction and basically taught how to treat their own problem. And usually if they follow through with a maintenance program that can take just 2 or 3 minutes a day, they can significantly reduce their pain.
OSF St. Mary Medical Center, all together better.
Oh, just a little further. Mrs. Stevens?
Hey, Phil. Got a package for me?
Nope, just a power bill.
Oh, well, what's that?
That's the power bill, ma'am.
No.
Yeah, I think it's time you call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Honestly, my back can't take much more of this.
Do everyone a favor and get a high-efficiency furnace from Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
Life is busy and quality times come in fleeting moments, only to be interrupted by basketball games, dance lessons, errands, and deadlines. Cratty Insurance, your Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg, has a genuine desire to find the right insurance coverages for your family. I'm Mark Cratty. I'll take time to find affordable home and auto insurance plans for you from Rockford Mutual Insurance. For a quote, call us or stop by our office on Henderson Street in Galesburg today.
Silver Streaks boys basketball continues with the OSF St. Mary Medical Center Halftime Report. Brought to you by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. All together better.
Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee with you at John Thiel Gymnasium. We are at halftime where the Silver Streaks trail the Moline Maroons by 10, 31-21. Moline has done just about everything right here in this game so far. And even when the Silver Streaks had started to mount a little bit of a rally in the second quarter, Moline stuffed that. Let's take a look at our halftime scoreboard brought to you by Cratty Insurance. One office for all your insurance needs. Again, here at the half, Silver Streaks outscored in the first quarter 14-11 and the second quarter 17-10. 31-21 Moline at the break at Rock Island. The Rocks lead Olivan by only four at halftime, 24-20. They outscored the Pioneers 10-6 in the first quarter and 14-14 apiece in the second quarter. So only a four-point lead for Rock Island over the Pioneers. Well, that would be huge for the Silver Streaks if Pioneers could hang in there and pull off what would be a huge upset. The Rocks lurking just a game behind Galesburg in the conference standings. And no score yet from the Quincy UT game down at Baldwin Gymnasium in Quincy. Our halftime statistics, Jim Lee, brought to you by Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. All right, Moline shooting 82% from the field.
Wow.
If that continues, we're not going to beat them unless they turn it over every time the rest of the way. That's really been a saving grace for us. We forced enough turnovers to limit their chances in the second quarter. They were 4 of 4 from the field after a 5-for-7 effort in the first quarter. So 9 of 11 from the field and getting a lot of chances at the free throw line as well are the Maroons. Silver Streaks 35% from the field, 9 of 26. So we've had 15 more shots at the basket than Moline, and we've got 10 fewer points. Talk about getting outplayed. Silver Streaks on the boards, winning a rebounding battle 12-10. That really doesn't matter at this point. 11 Moline turnovers and 9 on the Silver Streaks. But as is often the case when the Streaks struggle, we're fouling too much. And you can't do that against Moline and put them at the free throw line, especially when they're so efficient right now offensively when they're not turning it over. So a big 10-point deficit can still come back to win this game, but we're going to have to play a whole lot better. At the free throw line, Moline has taken advantage, 10 of 13. Silver Streaks have been there 7 times, making 5. Streaks are 0 for 7 from 3-point range. And Moline has made all 3 of their shots from behind the 3-point arc. It's 31-21, Moline at the half. We'll take a look at the individual scoring, and we'll get a word with the Streaks coaching staff when we come back. Pink out night, Gadette's senior night. But it's the Moline Maroons who are spoiling the party right now, 31-21. Moline at the half over the Silver Streaks. You're listening to Galesburg High School boys basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
A lot of daily repetitive motion can lead to loss of range of motion, causing you pain. Sarah Haynes, physical therapist for OSF St. Mary Medical Center, specializes in exercise to help relieve back pain.
The McKenzie Method is a self-treatment program, so the patient is given exercises and postural correction and basically taught how to treat their own problem. And usually if they follow through with a maintenance program that can take just 2 or 3 minutes a day, they can significantly reduce their pain.
OSF St. Mary Medical Center, all together better.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision.
Shh! You did not just...
Look at that dish. Seared squab with foie gras.
And that thing that just raced by with my appetite.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision...
Foie gras.
Out of collision.
That's someone enjoying a wonderful meal at McDonald's. That's someone enjoying a refreshing Coca-Cola for only a dollar. And that's the harmonious flavor of McDonald's and any size icy cold Coca-Cola soft drink or sweet tea for just a dollar. It's hard to describe it any other way. The simple joy of... A la carte only. Prices and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
The official WGIL forecast, clear with a low of 11 tonight. Tomorrow, sunny with highs only getting up to about 28. Tomorrow night, cloudy low of 20, but temps steady or slowly rising after midnight. Sunday, freezing rain and sleet likely in the morning, then rain or freezing rain likely in the afternoon. High of 32, ice accumulation less than a quarter of an inch. And Sunday night, rain likely, low of 31, but temperatures rising into the 40s after midnight. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it is 28 at WGIL.
WGIL congratulates Mary Vega of Galesburg. She was spotted wearing the WGIL button and picked up $20. Congratulations, Mary, from WGIL.
Halftime here at John Field Gymnasium, 31-21. Silver Streaks trailing the Moline Maroons at half. And let's take a look at the individual scoring for these two teams. Somehow Grant Gibson has 8 points in the first half. He's gotten off only 7 shots. The points have been hard to come by for Grant. So 8 in the first half. He leads Galesburg in scoring. Joe Williams has 5. Carson Cheeseman has 4. That's one short of his season high, which he got against Team Englewood way back at the beginning of the season in the Thanksgiving tournament. So 4 first half points for Cheeseman. 2 off the bench for Marcus Ross. Ryan Carl, Tyson Parks, Ethan Meeker and Trevon Diggins have not scored. Coach Mike Reynolds has gone with all kinds of different lineups here tonight, trying to find some sort of a lift and a spark from the right combination, and just hasn't happened yet. For Moline, they have one player in double figures already. That's Jed Wood with 10. Brandon Weiss is right behind him with 8, 4 in each quarter. Drew Owens has 5. Derek Stabler with 4. Tyler Biscontine and Brian Brinker each have 2. And Deshaun Newman has not scored for the Moline Maroons. And I believe that's everybody who's played so far for Moline. They lead at 31-21 at halftime. Our halftime coaches interview with Steve Cheeseman brought to you by Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Let's now go down courtside now with Jim Lee.
Steve Cheeseman here at halftime, obviously all we can handle tonight with Moline.
Yeah, they're playing a good ball game. We had a couple spurts where we didn't handle their double teams very well, but I thought we responded in the latter part of the second period. We were a bucket or two away from really, really getting it tight. Don't think we have the momentum, but we feel like we can do some things if we can set ourselves down, try to stay in the moment, and turn up the pressure a little bit.
Yeah. Offensively, how do we attack that zone? We seem to be standing around a lot.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to get the ball moving. We've got to get it skipped. Drive the gaps, just the normal stuff that you need to do against the zone. We need to be a little bit more aggressive.
And not foul quite so much, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, move our feet and try to put our pressure on with our feet.
All right, thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Jim.
As always, our thanks to Steve Cheeseman, assistant coach for the Silver Streaks, joining us here at halftime as Galesburg trails by 10, 31-21. Remind you that no Silver Streaks basketball this weekend. The girls and boys are both off before their next conference games coming up next week. The girls on Thursday, the boys on Friday with Quincy coming to town. We do have Fighting Illini basketball for you. Big game against the Michigan Wolverines coming up 4:30 for our broadcast Sunday. 5 o'clock scheduled tip-off there. Michigan poised to become the new number one team in college basketball, but they've got to get out of Champaign and Assembly Hall with a victory in order to do so. So
See what Illinois can do with the Michigan Wolverines in town coming up Sunday with a 4:30 broadcast here on WGIL. Otherwise, a basketball-free weekend with the Silver Streaks boys and girls off tomorrow. Moline on top, 31-21. They have the ball to begin quarter number three. Same starting five to begin the second half. Drew Owens, Tyler Biscontine, and Jed Wood at the guards. Brandon Weiss and Derek Stabler down low. One change for the Silver Streaks. Have Marcus Ross in the lineup instead of Ryan Carl, and an illegal screen away from the ball. Or did they call that a three-second lane violation? Either way, it's Moline's 12th turnover on the game, but Silver Streaks just haven't been able to take advantage of that. They've turned it over nine times themselves, an uncharacteristic high number for Galesburg, which averages only fewer than 13 a game. Carson Cheeseman wide open for three, and now it's just off the back of the rim. He got a good look at it. From here, it looked like it was right on line, but a little bit long. Rebound by Biscontine for Moline. Now Drew Owens undercut by Cheeseman, diving onto the floor, and he lays out Owens right in front of the scoring table, sliding underneath him and taking him out on the tackle. That's the second foul of the game on Cheeseman.
Yeah, Carson poked it away. He got to the ball first with his hand, but he had to do it jumping in front of Owens, and then when Owens fell over him, that's when the foul was called. And so, again, we don't want to get in foul trouble and put Moline at the line here again in the second half. That was part of our undoing in half number one.
On the outside, Wood, right in front of the end of the Moline bench, actually the front of the Moline bench near the scoring table, gets it back to Drew Owens just inside the half-court line. 1 minute gone here in quarter number three. 31-21, Moline with the lead. Neither team has scored here so far in the opening seconds of the second half. Owens backs up toward midcourt with Cheeseman guarding him. Works his way up the near sideline. Now reverses back between the circles. Right side in front of the Moline bench. Over it goes to Biscontine. Biggins guarding him. Pass down low to Stabler. Right back out to Biscontine on the high-low. Weiss with it now at the top of the circle. Gives it back to Biscontine on the right side. Count at three. Now he dribbles away. Around the screen.
Look
behind the back pass to Weiss. Lays it up.
No wonder that kid's getting a lot of playing time. Quite a sophomore class that we've seen all around as we've played this season, including Galesburg, and Biscontine right there showing us he's got some skills too for a couple more years.
Left side, Meeker with it on the wing. Tries to skip it back out high. It's deflected, but it does get to Cheeseman. Now Ross on the outside for three off the back of the rim. Meeker in the lane with a putback. That one is short. He gets it back again. That one is blocked by Weiss, who comes down with a rebound. Again, three more chances at it for the Silver Streaks, and again, they come up empty.
Well, and if they can continue to force us to have Carson and Marcus shooting three-pointers, Molina win the game. That's exactly the strategy they want.
Here's a miss at the other end by the Maroons. Cheeseman comes down with a rebound. Brings it into the front court quickly, but Moline gets back defending the transition. Cheeseman drives, dumps it off to Ross, lays it up and in. In much better position down low on the low blocks to take advantage of his size, and the Silver Streaks call a timeout. Down 10, 33-23 with 5:41 to go third quarter. Denzel Jones, Joe Williams check back in for the Streaks.
We haven't given up any ground through the first couple of minutes, but we haven't gained any either against this Moline 10-point lead. And we forced them into a few turnovers in that late first half. Some of that was when Owens was out. You never want to be down, but especially to a Moline team, no matter who their coach is, it seems like they will take some clock off if they get into the fourth quarter with any sort of a lead, and especially if they can force us to foul them. I think for us to have a good shot at this game, we've got to have it down to four or five by the end of the quarter here.
Things really turning around in the second half of the Western Big Six. This is the first time that anybody will play each other for the second time. Again, Galesburg winning at Moline earlier. The Maroons dominating here tonight, leading by 10. We told you earlier, Rock Island led Alleman by only four at halftime, 24-20, and this score is a shocker from down at Quincy. Blue Devils lead UT as the Streaks force a turnover. Williams in the backcourt takes it away from Owens and gets the breakaway layup.
Great job by Joe Williams.
But down at Quincy, UT put up 28 points in the first half. That's a shocker in and of itself. They trail by only three. 31-28 Quincy. Owens under the basket down low, throws it up badly, and then Weiss just out-battles the Silver Streaks for the rebound. It's deflected away in the lane to Stabler, now left corner. Wood for three. Everything the Silver Streaks were doing was right down there except get the ball away from Moline. So now into the front court with an 11-point lead, and here come the Silver Streaks trying to get back into it. Diggins drives down the low blocks. Shot hangs on the rim and falls off, and Weiss comes down with a rebound. Into the front court. Biscontine pulls up at the free throw line. That one's in and out. Joe Williams with a rebound. Happy to see Trevon attack the basket. Yeah. I think that's what's really lacking in our offense.
Down low, Gibson off balance, scoops it up with the right hand as he fell down. 36-27, Galesburg back down by 9 here.
Yeah, I don't even care if Trevon gets 3 shots blocked in a row going in there. We have to have him penetrate to have an effective offense.
Down low, Stabler with a size advantage, posting up Denzel Jones, but he missed it. And then under the basket, Biscontine knocks the ball out of bounds, back to the streaks.
Well, and you know, I'm not getting on Trevon, because to his credit, he plays great defense, and I think he focuses so much of his energy on that, he tends to let others take the role on the offense, but our best games this year have been when he has played a key role in offense.
Galesburg down 9 with the ball, 36-27, approaching the halfway point of quarter number 3. Left side, Gibson on the outside, steps to the top of the arc, skips it right side over to Meeker, passes up the 3, into Jones, drives, kicks it out, left corner, Williams for 2, and he hit it. Oh, they gave him a 3. I thought his right foot was on the line. But the official was standing right there, saw it clearly. Galesburg down 6 now, 36-30, as this crowd tries to come back to life. Owens on the outside gets fouled as he penetrates. And I think they're going to call that one on Williams, and that is his second. I'm sorry, that's his third. And the second team foul on Galesburg, none on Moline yet, with 3:43 to go third quarter.
Joe is aghast at that call, and I can't really say I saw a whole lot happening there.
On the inbounds, Weiss takes it right at Grant Gibson, misses the shot, but Grant picked up his second foul.
And third team foul on the streaks. Free throws coming, and Moline wants to live at that free throw line again in the second half.
And why not? They knocked him down in the first half, 10 of 13. And they'll get to the line here. They had only 2 misses the entire first half from the field, right, Jim?
Yes, they were 9 of 11, 82%. They've had 4 misses here in the third quarter.
Yeah, second free throw good as well. Well, Weiss is perfect from the free throw line. 6 for 6 in the game, puts Moline back up by 8, 38-30. Williams into the front court, 3:35 to go third quarter. Diggins on the left side to the free throw line, curls around, cut off, gets it back out to Williams. Streaks won a high percentage shot. Jones, Gibson down low. Now Gibson comes out high for the pass, gets it over to Diggins on the wing. There are some holes in that lane if the Streaks can attack them, recognize them quickly enough and attack them. Here's Diggins trying to take it into the lane. He's cut off, skips it out to Meeker for 3. That one is in and out. Tough break for Ethan. Drew Owens with the rebound. Ethan 0 for 6 from the field now. On the opposite end, a 3 by Wood. Wide open. And that's a killer. 6-point swing. Instead of being down 5, Galesburg down 11 at 41-30. And Wood in the game with 16 now. Here's Gibson down the lane and an offensive foul called as he lowered the shoulder into Drew Owens, and that's 3 on Grant Gibson now. Trying to do a little too much there. 10th turnover on the streaks.
So 3 on Grant. Don't score, and it's another team foul. So bad trip all the way around for the Silver Streaks, who just a minute ago looked like they were getting back into this, and now things look gloomy again, and we'll take a timeout.
2:49 to go, third quarter, and this is a full timeout? Yes. No. 30-second timeout. I heard 30. I saw 60.
It's a good thing you listened. I saw the 62 and was ready to take a break.
And then the official stuck his arm out first, but then he immediately pointed to his shoulder. So, again, a reminder, Fighting Illini basketball Sunday. It's a moderately important game, Jim, after what's transpired in college basketball. I think Michigan, you know, they've been terrific this year. Illinois is going to have to play great, and they haven't exactly defended the home court very well here in the conference. So
No, and Michigan is just uber talented. I'm not sure when they're playing right, they might not be the best team in the country.
Yeah.
And if they win, they will be rated number 1, although I'm not sure anybody wants that right now, because you get there and it's not too long before you get knocked off.
So we'll have that 4:30 Sunday afternoon. Fighting Illini and Michigan from Assembly Hall. Into the front court quickly, Biscontine. Didn't have numbers, so he pulled it back out. Owens in the midcourt circle gives it right over to Biscontine. They moved the ball really well, so much better than we saw. Here's Weiss, right around Grant Gibson up and in.
Yep, completely new team. Moline is much improved, and we've just, for the most part, had no answer so far tonight.
Gibson on the outside, right side over to Meeker. Sidesteps left, now backs up, gets it into the hands of Jones. Skips it into the left corner. Williams wasn't open very long, so he drives it at Weiss, gets rejected, right back to him to the high post. Gibson shoots. That rolls off. Jones deflects the rebound into the hands of Stabler. Another missed opportunity, an offensive rebound, but another missed opportunity for the Streaks.
Yeah, well, again, the draw comparisons of the boys and girls, a lot of the same things right now, just not able to shoot as well as our opponents, and that's the big difference.
Weiss just throws it up, and a rebound as Gibson was all over him, but Biscontine on the weak side pulled it down. Now Owens down the lane with a shot, rolls off. Diggins gets up for the rebound for the Silver Streaks. Into the front court, look out, nearly had his pocket pick, gets it over to Williams, and they're going to call a late travel. No, they're going to say Williams was on the sideline. Either way, I thought Trevon traveled with it, but that's the 11th Gillsburg turnover. So another missed opportunity as the lead for Moline has grown back to 13. Their biggest lead of the night is 15.
Really? Quarter's gone by rather quickly, even with a couple of timeouts. And Moline builds on that lead. And yeah, you're right about so many things with Moline. Some of their players have improved so much just when we saw them, Weiss especially, and then the addition to this Biscontine at the guard spot makes them that much more difficult to handle.
The defensive switch is Diggins knocks Owens down on the right wing. Diggins was trying to put a little bit of a body on him, not let Owens, you know, move around him. I thought Trevon just leaned a little bit too much, lost his balance, and fell into him. Either way, it's a second foul. Five team fouls on the streaks, none yet on Moline.
Yeah, that's the biggest stat on that scoreboard right now outside of the score is just, you know, Moline's able to play defense without fouling, and we just can't get it done, and a timeout taken by the Maroons to maybe save a turnover.
Diggins was all over Drew Owens. Owens actually leaned into Trevon trying to clear some space. That foul wasn't called, and Owens down in the corner really had nowhere to go with it, so finally Schimmel called the timeout. Just a 30-second timeout with a minute 19 to go in the third quarter.
Well, and every basketball season has its ebbs and flows, but it's hard to imagine this being the same team that we saw in the second week in December beat Rock Island on this court. I mean, we were shooting the basketball well. We were playing with some swagger. We had a lot of energy. And all those things seem to have left us here at this point. You would have thought you would have improved at this point of the season, but I don't know whether Moline is just that much better that it's confused us or whether we're just really, really not playing as well right now.
Moline sure looks terrific here tonight. And then on the inbound, a foul away from the ball. They're going to call an illegal screen on Jed Wood, who was blocking out Denzel Jones. And thing was, they were 35 feet away from the basketball in the inbound. So that goes as the first Moline foul of the second half and only their second turnover here in the third quarter. Streaks with it back down 13. Just haven't been able to get anything going tonight offensively. On the left side, Williams with it. Top of the circle to Denzel Jones. Fakes left, drives right. Gibson helps set a screen, but Denzel missed the pull-up jumper. Gets his own rebound. Caught under the basket. Baseline bounce pass over to Ross. Shoots and scores. Good job by Denzel. Active in there to keep his miss alive. Give the Streaks another chance. And actually capitalize on it finally. Streaks have still been outscored here in the second half after they were down 10 at halftime. And the lead has grown for Moline with 35 seconds to go here in the third quarter. On the right side, Wood with Jones guarding him. Dribbles it toward the top of the circle. Tries to find an opening in the lane. And Diggins comes over from the weak side. But I think they're going to call Denzel instead, who is fronting him. And that's a second foul on Jones. Sixth team foul on the Streaks. So with 27.6 seconds to go in the third quarter, Moline's just about to shoot free throws the rest of the game. I wouldn't doubt the Streaks the way things are going, given their seventh team foul. And
did
now
it right
a foul
there,
on the inbound. And there it is. That one's on Marcus Ross, holding Brandon Weiss trying to cut through the lane. And that's the last guy Gillsburg wants at the free throw line. 6 for 6 on the game, and he's got a terrific shooting stroke.
Now we got a full quarter left, but I'm starting to think it may take a miracle to beat these guys tonight, especially putting them in the bonus now here.
Streaks didn't even take any time off the clock to put him at the free throw line. 7 for 7 from the line now for Brandon Weiss. 7 points in the quarter, 15 for the game. Wood has 16 to lead all scorers. Second one by Weiss, and now he's matched it.
You know, Mike Reynolds over there kneeling with his head in his hands just watching the action. I think he's just trying to figure out some way he can put this puzzle together for this team to get them competitive here again in this as we go to the fourth quarter.
Streaks down 13 with the ball, 20 seconds to go into the third quarter. They need a three just to match where we were. They leave Marcus Ross wide open from the top of the circle, but with 15 seconds to play, he does not shoot. Now Williams with it with 8 seconds to go. Joe around a Ross screen, pulls up from the high post, missed it, gets his own rebound, shovels it up as he's fouled, and the shot rolls off the rim. He's going to get two free throws with 1.7 seconds to go.
Yeah, Moline won only one game in the conference in the first go-round, but from what we've seen here tonight, they'll win a few more than that in the second round.
Sure enough. Williams to the free throw line, got to make these, down 13, and the first one rolls through. Didn't want to. 6 points in the quarter for Joe Williams.
Probably their most crushing defeat was the Alleman loss, the first go-round in the conference season.
Yeah, they blew that one late, if I remember right. Got off to a fast start, and then offensively just went into a funk for about 2.5 quarters. Williams' second free throw is good. He's got 12 for the game, 45-34. Galesburg down 11 with 1.7 seconds. Need to steal the inbound to get a quick basket. Try to get some life back in this team heading into the fourth quarter. 45-34 Moline, 1.4 seconds to go on the inbound. Wood gets it into Biscontine, who heaves it. So that denies a chance for any kind of a steal for the Silver Streaks, and that's the end of three quarters with Galesburg down 11 now. You're listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
People who insist that it doesn't matter who does your screen printing have lower standards than you. You know what you want. You know what you expect. Clean lines, artistic designs, quality materials that players will actually want to wear. Screen-printed sportswear like that comes from Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Soft, comfortable fabrics, bright, bold colors, crisp school logos that profess your loyalty loud and proud. Find everything you need on and off the field at Breedlove's in downtown Kewaunee. Everything sports.
Play-by-play coverage of Silver Streaks basketball and WGIL is brought to you in part by Chuck Ross with Mel Foster Company, making it happen. By Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by office specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business.
Prepare to save more, spend less, and avoid getting ripped off by listening to Clark Howard. Weekdays at 3 on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Three quarters gone. Galesburg down 10 at the half. Lost another point to the Moline lead, and they now trail by 11. Heading into the final quarter here at John Field Gymnasium, 45-34. The Maroons have looked very solid here tonight in a what's a very typical Western Big Six matchup. On the outside, Williams checked back into the game to start the fourth quarter with Gibson, Jones, Diggins, and Ross for the Silver Streaks. Marcus comes out high for it. They back off him, dare him to shoot the three. Gets it over to Williams on the right side. He's cut off by Wood trying to drive in. We're 30 seconds into the fourth quarter. Gibson has it now, trying to work around a Ross screen. Gives it back to Diggins on the outside. Silver Streaks have an entire fourth quarter here. Need to find some openings over that zone. Williams drains a three from the right wing. Let's see if that lights a spark in this team, gets them going. 10 points in the quarter, 15 for the game for Joe Williams. Galesburg down 8. 45-37. As we approach the 7-minute mark, into the front court, Biscontine around Williams. Baseline Stabler back out to Biscontine for three. Well, answered that one. Biscontine hasn't had many shot opportunities tonight. That's the best look he's had, and he drained it.
He plays with so much confidence, especially for a guy that wasn't starting to start the year.
Wasn't even on the roster. Down the lane, Gibson went right, faked left, got blocked by Stabler, and the loose ball picked up off the floor by Wood. How many blocks have they had tonight? I'll bet they've had close to 10.
And they blocked from the front, from behind, and they've been pretty clean. I haven't had any argument with them.
Stabler on the left side, back out top to Owens. Past Williams, drives, gets it into Stabler, brings it back out to Biscontine on the outside with 6:20 to go in the game.
And that's what I said with Moline there, not afraid to work some clock in the fourth.
Stabler takes it right at Grant Gibson, who had to back off a little bit. Stabler laid it up and in, or else Grant was going to pick up his fourth.
Absolutely cutting us up.
50-37, Moline by a Baker's dozen. 6 minutes to go in the game. Down low, Jones pump fakes, gets Vice to bite just enough to Jones to get it up and in, and the Streaks call a timeout. 50-39, so we're right where we were at the beginning of the fourth quarter as we played 2 minutes here in the final quarter. Streaks still down 11, 50-39. You're listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Look alive, boys. Here he comes.
Everybody buttoned up.
What's all the fuss about?
That there's the WGIL button spotter.
What's our plan?
Show him your button. He's got cold hard cash.
Ooh.
Yep, cold hard cash.
Wear a button, win some cash. Pick up your blue WGIL button today at Accounting Systems Incorporated at 232 East Simmons in downtown Galesburg and at Galesburg Toyota Scion on North Seminary. Details at WGIL.com. Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Just under 6 minutes to go in the game here at John Field Gymnasium. Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee with you. Nick Simpson, our broadcast engineer. Galesburg down 11 with 5:59 to go in the game. 50-39 Moline. Since taking an 8-7 lead in the first quarter, the Maroons have not trailed since. They built a lead of as many as 15 at one point. And it's been pretty close to or in double figures virtually the entire second half here. Coming out of the Galesburg timeout, here's Owens with it in the front court, dribbling right, cut off by Diggins. Travon tried to poke it away, got a hand on the ball, and gets called for a reach foul. Travon thought he got him cleanly. It's his third foul instead, and it puts Owens at the line for a 1-1 here. 5:44 to go in the game. Owens only 5 points tonight. Streaks have held him pretty quiet. In fact, he shot the ball only three times. That's his first free throw, and it's good.
It's interesting. He's, like I said, early on in the season, we were looking at him to be a scorer for them, and now he's more of a role player, and I'm sure it's a lot less pressure for him and missed the second free throw, but it's got to be encouraging for him to see all this scoring potential around him now.
Gibson steps back, shoots a three. That one's way off the mark. He banked it so hard, and it didn't even touch the rim. And the rebound by Brandon Weiss. Grant really forced that one, trying to make something happen quickly for the Streaks. Down 12, under 5.5 to play. Owens at the volleyball line. Gibson has been stifled here tonight. He has only 10 points. And his shots even have been hard to come by. Owens out high to Stabler. Had Viscontine cutting back door. Now into the backcourt. Bad pass to Owens as his momentum took him toward the half-court line, and the pass led him too much. He lost it over the timeline. 15th turnover on Moline.
Well, the Maroons in a great position, too, where they can work some clock. They're looking to attack the basket, but they know if they get a foul, they can shoot free throws well. The Silver Streaks in the unenviable position of trying to pry it away without fouling him. We got it done that time, and now we've got to make a shot almost every time down the court.
Now foul from the backside. Inlet pass for Grant Gibson just inside the free throw line, and Owens got him from the backside. That's his third foul, but only the third team foul on Moline here in the fourth quarter. Just under 5 minutes to play in the game. 51-39 Maroons. On the inbound, Williams got a brief open look. He passed it up, gets it out to Ross for three, and that one is good. That's nine in the game now for Marcus Ross. Galesburg down 9, 51-42. Owens bothered in the backcourt by Diggins. Now gets it into the front court to Weiss. Ross all over him. Weiss needs to get it away. It's into the backcourt, and they're going to get a foul on Williams. A timeout on Moline. They do get the timeout. Just as Viscontine was going into the backcourt for what would have been a turnover, Moline calls a full timeout.
Yeah. Or a foul on Joe. I wasn't sure what they were going to call there.
4:36 to go in the game. Streaks down 51-42. You're listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
WGIL, proud to be a part of Galesburg.
Hi, this is Lori Plunk with WGIL Radio. The 7th annual CASA Heart Walk is Saturday, February 16th at Sandberg Mall. With the money raised, CASA is better equipped to advocate for abused and neglected children in Knox County. Contact Hannah Melly or check our calendar at WGIL.com.
This public service message is proudly presented by the local staff and management and ownership at WGIL. Stay in touch with Galesburg wherever you go and anytime you're online. Just log on to WGIL.com.
Plunk there. Happy birthday to Lori today.
She did take the day off, by the way.
Well, you should on your 29th birthday, right?
Well, we were joking about it this morning on the air. I said, she ought to call in, take the day off. Well, it turned out, I think it was pre-planned, that she had the day off today, so happy birthday.
4.5 minutes to go here at John Thiel Gymnasium. 9-point Moline lead. Maroons with the ball. Weiss taking it right at Marcus Ross. Boy, tough foul on Marcus. Weiss initiated that one. In fact, it looked like he got a shoulder into Marcus's chin.
And instead it's Ross who picks up his second foul, and not good for the Streaks. Vice at the free throw line. 8 for 8 in the game. 16 points, first one up and in. And I mean, he's not even close to missing. Every one of these 9 free throws that he's made has just been perfect. And the 10th one, oh, it touched the rim a little bit, but it still rattled through.
Yeah, when you got a big man that can shoot free throws like that, you become very tough, especially against a team that can't handle him, which is the case with us right now.
Top of the circle, Marcus Ross. Galesburg down 11 as we approach the midpoint of the fourth quarter. Williams on the right side, cut off, double team, gets it down low. Good look to Denzel Jones. He gets hammered under the basket, and finally, for the first time I can think of in this game, the Streaks get fouled in close to the basket. A block, but this time a foul to go with it. Biscontine picks up his first, and Denzel Jones goes to the free throw line, 6 for 9 on the season. Denzel's got a lot of good playing time tonight, and that one circles in and out. Well, that's not going to help. Silver Streaks haven't been bad from the free throw line tonight. 7 of 9, but any miss at this point is a big one, as he does make the second one. Denzel with 5 points in the game. Galesburg down 10, 53-43. Full court pressure in the backcourt. Jones will guard Wood. As the trap comes up, he gets it away to Drew Owens. Still a little bit of time. Now Owens does get it across before the 10-second count. Diggins guarding Owens in the man defense. Biscontine comes out, guarded by Williams. Under 4 minutes to go in the game. Ross pokes the ball out of Weiss's hands into the backcourt. But apparently Marcus touched it last. Streaks again, creating a lot of havoc for Moline handling the ball, but they just have not been able to finish off these turnovers. They still have forced 15 of them tonight. But on those loose ball 50-50 balls, it's been Moline getting to him and hanging on to it. Stabler in the lane. Wood out to Biscontine for 3. Ooh, that one's in and out. Got an open look at it. Grant Gibson with a rebound. Driving into the front court. Down the right side. Dishes it out to Diggins. And Owens flopping down as Gibson tried to sidestep him. Gets called for the offensive foul. And Mike Reynolds, understandably, is apoplectic at that call.
Yeah, I haven't had much argument with most of the calls tonight. I thought they've been pretty accurate, but that was terrible.
It's one thing if you run right over the guy, but when you're moving around him
and he still falls on his back and puts on a show, I mean, you can't fault Owen for if he thinks it'll work, and it did.
in the lane. Wood cut off, brings it back out. And now Moline can run some more clock with 3:15 to go in the fourth quarter. In the midcourt circle, Biscontine guarded by Williams. Trying to drive, found an opening, dumps it off to Weiss. And that one is blocked, but he gets his own rebound. Draws a triple team, dribbles out of it, gets it back out to Owens near midcourt. And they spread it out and run some more clock.
Nearly another great assist that time by Biscontine. The big kid, Weiss, is so strong that he's able to get his own rebound. And then they run more time, and now Biscontine is fouled. And the Maroons will continue their parade to the free throw line with 2:51 to go, still up 10.
Everything Joe Williams could do just to reach in, try to bat it loose, see if he could get away with it. Biscontine will go to the line, 2 for 2 tonight, only 5 points. But just a sophomore, he's going to have a big impact on this league as he grows. Makes the first free throw, 11-point Moline lead. Again, 54-43, 2:51 to go in the game. Second free throw, that one is good as well. They just have hardly missed tonight from the free throw line. 9 for 10 in the second half. Here's a three from the left wing. That won't go down for Denzel on the weak side. Diggins fights off Biscontine for the rebound. Out to Williams for three. That one's off the mark. Rebound tipped up by Denzel. Jones won't go, and there's a rebound by Grant Gibson. Streak's got four cracks at it, and they foul immediately in the backcourt. Joe just fouled out of the game.
2:29 to go, and Biscontine will come back down here and shoot free throws. The game is a 10-point game right where it was at halftime, and while we've been able to get a few baskets on the other end, the Maroons haven't had to do much from the field here again as they're spending that time at the free throw line, which is what we feared, and we knew we couldn't allow to happen in the second half, but yet we looked up there and saw 5 or 6 fouls on Galesburg before Moline had one and knew that it was going to be a pretty tough assignment the rest of the way. clock continues. It's a slow grind down the stretch here. It's one of those where if you're Moline, you'd like to see that clock go a little more. But as long as they keep going to the line, they'll be fine because everybody they seem to put there has no trouble making free throws.
10 of 11 in the second half. 21 of 25 for the game. They lead by 11, 56-45, and Biscotine missed the second one. Gibson alone for the rebound as Moline gets back defensively to prevent the Streets from getting into any kind of offensive rhythm. On the left side, Gibson fakes, drives, steps past Jones for the basket up and in off the left side, and Gillsburg burns its final timeout, down 56-47 with 2:17 to go in the game. So we'll take a timeout as well, a full timeout here at John Field Gymnasium. Moline still leads by 9. 2:17 to go in the game. You're listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
It's Michelle and Patsy from Bates Collision Center.
We're all about teamwork here at Bates. Everyone here plays an important role in the repair of your vehicle after an accident.
From the moment you walk in our door, you can trust that the team at Bates Collision Center is working for you.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Pick up your blue WGIL button today at a participating sponsor. For details, visit our website at WGIL.com.
Moline 56, Galesburg 47, 2:17 to go in the game. It's been all Maroons here tonight, other than the 5-0 Galesburg start back in the first quarter. Moline came right back, tied it at 5. Silver Streaks got the next basket. Moline tied it at 7, went ahead 8-7. We were tied one more time at 9, otherwise it's been all Maroons. They've led by as many as 15 here tonight. 13 has been their biggest lead in the second half. They have just stifled the Silver Streaks.
They've maximized their offense. They've taken only 24 shots from the field, and they have 56 points.
Incredible. Silver Streaks have about doubled them up from the field, I think, haven't they?
At least for shot attempts.
Yeah.
Certainly not makes.
On the right side, Owens Juan down to the baseline, wide open, and Marcus Ross comes over quickly to Stabler. Good defense by Ross and Diggins forces Stabler to get the happy feet going down on the low blocks. Gets called for the travel. Well, the Silver Streaks can try to cut into this 9-point deficit here with a minute 55 to go. Cheeseman rolls the ball into Gibson, is just going to let it stay on the floor all the way to half court where Owens is waiting. Now Grant picks it up, dribbles across midcourt, right corner. Here's Cheeseman pulling in, forces up the shot, trying to draw contact, gets his own rebound, back into the lane, batted away by Owens. He saw the read coming. Cheeseman couldn't get it away quickly enough, and Galesburg turns it over. Now into the front court, they get it to Stabler. Now Wood with it in the midcourt circle, nearly into the backcourt as Biscotine did get across just half court, just in time for the pass. Dribbling. Wood cut off at the free throw line, back out to Biscotine with a minute 20 to go in the game. Streaks in no hurry to foul here. Down 9. As Moline has been to the line a lot and has made a whole lot of them as well. Now Ross covers up Stabler on the baseline, gets it back out to Wood, who brings it back out to Owens at half court. They'll run some more clock with now under a minute to go. Wide open under the basket, but the pass is too high for Stabler. The defense comes in. Ross reaches away, and now a three-second call. Mike Reynolds talked the official, the far official, into that one as Stabler was in the lane for a long time. 17th turnover on Moline.
Stabler's been frustrated on two straight possessions. He's had the ball in scoring position, but then the defense collapses on him or something else happens. And that time, I think he got hacked a little bit on that, too.
Streaks are going to be out of time as Meeker gets inside the defense, finally scores for the first time in the game. 56-49, Galesburg down 7 with 40 seconds to go. Now here's Ross with a steal intended for Stabler, and Ross has been doing a good job. Bad pass to Denzel Jones, who saves it on the sideline to Gibson. Drives, left corner, Meeker from the baseline. Missed the shot, weak side rebound, put back by Jones. Galesburg down 5, but are they out of time? 56-51, full court pass, picked off by Ross again. Down to 20 seconds to go. Gibson for 3. Good! Down to 2. 56-54. Streaks need another steal. Moline calls timeout. With 12.4 seconds to go, it's happened that quickly. Galesburg's got it down to a one-possession game.
Isn't that incredible?
And give Marcus Ross credit as the catalyst. He created the turnover on Stabler. He took it away from Stabler in the lane. He got another steal. And here we are. If Galesburg gets another steal, they could tie the game.
Well, as you can imagine, Coach Jeff Schimmel of Moline is just furious over there. He's seen his team work so hard to get that lead.
And then giving it up in 20 seconds,
yeah,
practically.
And Galesburg with no timeouts, and that may be the best thing for us. You know, Moline not stopping the clock either, and they got a little bit rattled, made some passes they shouldn't have. And then all of a sudden, we can't make a shot all night. And then we make several of them here down the stretch and get it down to a two-point game. So Moline obviously will try and just get the inbounds, get fouled, but they're going to have to make some free throws to win it here, which we never thought would be the case with 12 seconds to go, but they would be pressured at all. It looked like they had this game well in hand.
Boy, the student section right behind the Galesburg bench was just imploring this team coming out of that timeout. And now the crowd is back into it with 12.4 seconds to go. Moline will inbound, and the Streaks will pressure with Denzel Jones on Wood on the baseline. And he skips it left over to Owens, but Diggins guarding him. They can't get it in, so they call a timeout. And Moline has used its final timeout with 12.4 seconds to go.
So something will have to give here on this handing of the ball to the inbounds man. No more timeouts in the Streaks. It's going to be interesting, the cat-and-mouse game. Now does Moline will probably change their tack a little bit as far as how they want to attack it. Does Mike Reynolds change his look defensively, knowing that Moline's making adjustments? I would guess they probably will.
So it's all happened. At the 2:17 mark, Galesburg used its final timeout. Down 56-47. They have scored nine in a row to cut a 56-45 lead down to 56-54. And it's all because Moline has turned the ball over. And because Galesburg has made shots. Ethan Meeker hit one. And Moline sagged off on the defense a little bit, too. They let Meeker drive to the lane. They kind of let him go with it. Then he got another one from the left side. They let him go. He missed it. But Jones, wide open under the basket, got the rebound put back. So their defense has backed off down there, too, which has allowed Galesburg to get going. Well, listen to this crowd come to life now. The officials talking it over on the baseline with Moline, making sure Wood understands he can run the baseline. They're coming off a Galesburg make. Jones will guard the inbound. Moving to his right now, under the basket. He can't. He does get it into Vice on the baseline. Streaks steal it away. Jones misses. Rebound put back. Diggins. 6 seconds to go. Here comes Moline breaking down court. Stabler blocked but fouled. Blocked but fouled under the basket by Grant Gibson. With 1.2 seconds to go. And the officials are going to talk it over. Moline wisely got it down court quickly to Stabler,
yep,
who was too far under the basket, and the Streaks fouled him on the block.
Yeah, good play by Moline to get that thing down the court in a hurry. We're thinking overtime when that ball went back in the basket, but Moline was thinking, let's get it down and win this thing. And so Stabler will have some pressure, although the game is just tied at 56. His team not going to lose if he misses the free throws. And he's got a double bonus. Two shots coming up for Stabler. He was fouled in the act of shooting.
Denzel Jones stole the inbound, and then I think anticipating a foul, just kind of tossed it up toward the basket. But the Silver Streaks were there for two offensive rebounds. Trevon Diggins finally got the putback, which tied it up. But with 1.2 seconds to go, Moline on the outlet pass down court to Stabler quickly, and he's going to get two free throws here to put Moline back on top. The Maroons will send four players back at half court and into the Streaks front court because neither team has a timeout. I'm not so sure he won't make one and then miss the second one. The first one rattles through.
If he'd have missed that, that rim would have looked pretty small on this second one.
Moline back on top, 57-56. Streaks have 1.2 seconds to go with it as Stabler misses the second one. Ross to half court. Meeker with the heave. It won't go. And Moline wins it. Moline survives. 57-56 on a Stabler free throw with 1.2 seconds to go. And Moline escapes a virtual monumental collapse late in the game. They have now won two straight in the Western Big Six. after starting off 0-4, and that may knock Galesburg back into a second-place tie with Rock Island. So the Maroons win it, 57-56. Post-game show up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Play-by-play coverage of Silver Streaks boys basketball on WGIL is brought to you in part by Craddy Insurance, one office for all your insurance needs. By Bates Collision Center in Galesburg, we take the decision out of collision. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By McDonald's, I'm loving it. OSF St. Mary Medical Center, altogether better. Breed Love Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Galesburg Nissan, now located at 2080 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Dave's Auto Body. You better call Dave's. Galesburg's radio station for news, talk, and Silver Streaks basketball. Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Live coverage of GHS basketball on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, by office specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business, and by Chuck Ross of Mel Foster Company, making it happen.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
The official WGIL forecast, clear with a low of 11 tonight. Tomorrow, sunny with highs only getting up to about 28. Tomorrow night, cloudy low of 20, but temps steady or slowly rising after midnight. Sunday, freezing rain and sleet likely in the morning, then rain or freezing rain likely in the afternoon. High of 32, ice accumulation less than a quarter of an inch. And Sunday night, rain likely, low of 31, but temperatures rising into the 40s after midnight. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it is 28 at WGIL.
Final stats, the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, and comments from Streaks head coach Mike Reynolds. WGIL's coverage of GHS boys basketball continues with the Silver Streaks postgame show on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Well, what was darn near about the most improbable finish you may ever see in a high school basketball game, Silver Streaks scored 11 straight points in the final 2 minutes and 20 seconds of the game. But they gave up one. And Coach Mike Reynolds joins us now in our post-game interview brought to you by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Let's send things over to Tony, who's with the head coach now.
All right. Well, Coach, obviously this was a game that was really odd in the fact it was so slow and plodding in Moline's tempo for most of it. And then to have that big flurry at the finish of this and nearly pull a game out in a fashion that I'm not sure I would have ever seen before, but one call at the end, and that's all that really separated us from one of the great comebacks we've had.
You had better angle than me, but hard to appreciate officiating when the guy, 36 seconds at half, say, you teach your guys to foul. So I'm not, that's unprofessional, that's a joke. And, you know, in 5 years I've came up here after every loss, every win, and not one time have I badmouthed the refs. That is by far the worst crew we've had in 5 years. We've had the same guy 3 out of 5 weeks. And I told the one guy who I think is a pretty good official, Hanson, I thought he did a good job. The other two guys couldn't ref on Thursday night. They couldn't ref a Monday night game, whatever. And I never said that in 5 years up here. And so people can say I complain at the refs or whatever. That's a joke right there. You know, they call, I bet we had 15 hand check calls. That one at the end, real questionable on game point. I just think, you know, two charges on Grant. You know, he's the best player in the league. You know, we've got the best player in the league. And, you know, he gets no respect on that. You know, they want to call all that. That's, you know, Chase on never got those calls. You know, they didn't call anything like that. And I'm not saying that Grant's going to Stanford. BT never got those calls. Kvitl and those guys won't get those calls. Those guys are not Big Six refs because every other Big Six game we have is a fight out here, basically. You know, everybody's bodying everybody. Everybody's doing everything. They called the game exactly the way they wanted Moline to win. And they got it done. They got it done tonight. And I credit Moline. I thought they had a great game plan. I thought we had a chance to come back there. We were taken out of the entire game. We weren't able to adjust the officials. I don't know how many free throws they shot, but they had a million of them. You know, every time I'd be shocked to think that we scored more baskets than they did, for sure. You know, that's unbelievable, to be real honest, that we've got 4,000, 3,000 people here and, you know, paying $6 a head, and we got to watch those guys. That's a joke.
Well, and of course, when you get in the situation where you've got the fouls, unfortunately, Moline has become a pretty good free throw shooting team, and the one guy that we really have trouble with, their big kid in there, Brandon Weiss, I'm not sure he missed. Did he miss a free throw all night? He was, you know, what do you do with a guy like that? Because many times a big guy, you can foul him and he misses some free throws, but he was a real difference maker for them.
Yeah, he's a good player. You know, and he made their all-tournament team. Here's the difference in the game. When you call 50 hand checks and you can't pressure the guards, the pass in there is easy. So then you're forced to double, you're forced to do some other things, which we refuse to do. And we got the game back, you know, at the speed we wanted it. But why did we get it back at the speed we wanted? They stopped calling fouls in the last 3 minutes. For some reason, they called the last 3 minutes, unlike they called the first 28. That's just a joke. And you can attest to it. I haven't came up here one time in 5 years, said one word about a bad officiating. And, you know, we've had a lot of good officials. We've had a lot of things. Heck, our team just got a sportsmanship award over the weekend from our play at Allman. So you can say whatever you want. And I know Moline people will complain that we're sore losers or whatever. You know, they played really well. They deserve to win. I think we didn't do a great job of doing some things. But that officiating is poor, and that's a nice way to say it.
And Moline, in the zone defense, as we've seen other teams, giving us problems with that because our inside game, we're not getting much there offensively. And from the perimeter, we shot the ball so well for a stretch here at home earlier in the season, and now we're just not hitting those perimeter shots. And when you don't have the inside or the outside, it becomes very difficult to generate consistent offense.
Well, they played mostly man-to-man, trapped off of Cheese, trapped off a couple guys. You know, you got to make shots. You're right. I mean, but it wasn't their true zone. They had a good game plan. They tried to get our other guys to beat them, and our other guys weren't capable of doing it at this point. You know, it is what it is. It's frustrating because I think we're in prime position to have a chance to win the league, and now we've got to be perfect to do it. You know, we got to be perfect to do it. That game doesn't sit real well with me. And those guys can say all they want, but when you have an official say that to you at halftime, it's hard for me to let that go. I don't care apology. He can do whatever he wants. But when a guy unprofessionally says that right to your bench, I have a real big issue with that. Real big issue.
The strategy at the end of the game, Mike, when Moline had to take a timeout in the final possession, did you change your defense at all coming out of that, thinking that they were going to adjust? How did that work?
No, we played man-to-man face guard, and we got a deflection, and I thought we had a pretty good play on the ball down here with 1 second left. But, I mean, the kid made his free throw, and he did what he had to do. But, again, we let down with focus and defense there in the first half, and we allowed the referees to come into play. You know, if we'd have played the way we're capable of, we wouldn't have to play on game point. The game would have been over, you know. But we couldn't find any. For some reason, you know, we have all these people here, we can't find enough energy to defend properly.
That's the big thing, yeah. The energy level was so low through most of the game, and like you said, part of that was due to the slow nature of the game during the foul calls, but it just didn't seem like our guys were really able to look at each other and generate some energy at times that could have got us back in the game.
Well, I mean, when they're taking the ball out of bounds all the time, you know. I mean, I don't know how many fouls they called on us. You'd probably have those numbers better than me, but has to be as close to, you know, the most we've had called all year. You know, not very impressive.
All right, Mike, we'll let you go. And good effort at the end. You gave us all a thrill down the stretch, but we'll get together next week and see if we can right the ship.
All right, thanks.
Our thanks, as always, to Coach Mike Reynolds joining us in the post game, regardless of the outcome, win or lose, and as bitter as we've ever heard the head coach, I think, at least since I came back 3 years ago, Jim, and didn't make any bones about how he felt about things here tonight, to say the least.
Well, you know, with halfway through the fourth quarter, I had mentioned to you, I said, this is going to be kind of a tough discussion with Mike tonight. Well, not realizing it was going to be quite that tough, especially when, you know, we thought this thing was just going to kind of die on the vine. This game just,
yeah.
It was a blah game. I mean, it's, for the Moline fans, it was a great game. They did a lot of things right, as Mike said, and you had no clue that this thing was ever going to get as heart-stopping as it was right down to the end until the final just over a minute left. And I think that magnified the intensity, certainly in the gymnasium, but I think of Gelsberg's head coach as well. If we go ahead and drop that game by 10 or 12 points, is he going to mention what he did? Yeah, is he going to be as passionate about it? I don't think
so. No, certainly not.
But to come that close then, I think really, really got his dander up a little bit. And you can tell there's some passion there. And it's unfortunate that we don't play tomorrow probably because this is one you'd just as soon get out and play again rather than have to sit on this one all week.
Now I'll hold off on what I was going to say.
We've had enough controversy for one night, huh?
Got to think about this for a little bit. 57-56, Moline wins it. We'll give you the post-game stats when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Green is in. Many of us are eco-friendly by driving hybrid cars, recycling, and even growing our own vegetables. Craddy Insurance, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg, can help put more green back in your pocket. Ask us about details of a money-saving auto home discount. If your auto and home are both insured with Rockford Mutual Insurance, you can save dollars off your premiums. Call me, Mark Craddy, at Craddy Insurance for more information today and start saving.
She won $50. Congratulations, Sandy, from WGIL.
57-56, Galesburg falls to Moline. Game that the Maroons dominated for, well, I see, probably about 29 minutes, Jim. 29 of the 32 minutes. Galesburg had the first minute and the last 2 minutes. Other than that, it was all Moline in between, and still, Galesburg almost came away from this with a victory, but a foul called with 1.2 seconds left. Puts Derek Stabler at the free throw line. He makes one, intentionally misses the second with Galesburg out of timeouts and having to take it the length of the court, and about all they could do was get off a desperate key from Ethan Meeker short of half court, which really wasn't even close. So that's how the thrilling finish ended in a very disappointing and tough way for a home crowd and for Coach Mike Reynolds, as you heard here on the post game. And well, I can see he's down at the other end. He's the passion has it. We weren't his release. He's still releasing a lot of that frustration.
Every media outlet he sees, I think, is going to get the same story, maybe told a little different way, but with the same passion. It was interesting to me that he got up here as quickly as he did, because usually he stays and talks with the team a little bit, and I think he was so frustrated with the officiating. He really didn't have that many frustrations with his team. I think they came back, you know, the way he wanted, and he just had built up that ire with the way this game was called that he really didn't have much to tell the team. He must have just said, guys, get dressed.
Yeah.
we'll talk at practice tomorrow, I guess, is about what it's come down to. So this is one for the ages, and it was interesting because when we scored a couple of baskets there, I thought, because we've seen this before, you get behind, then you finally make a couple of shots, and you make the final score look closer than the game was. You lose by 6 points instead of 12.
Right, yeah.
We've seen that a lot of times over the years, and so I really wasn't getting too excited about it. But then, you know, they got it down to four, and I'm still thinking, Moline's in control. Then when they threw the long pass, we stole that and got the basket. Then you're thinking, wait a minute, this is a one-possession game.
Yeah, and Moline looks so rattled there at the end. Yeah. I mean, they just lost all composure that they had held so well throughout the game.
Yeah, they
and
sure
when,
did.
And when you see them disintegrate like that, all of a sudden you start to think, wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
may
maybe
happen.
There's a chance. Well, and then, of course, to get the steal, and Denzel makes the basket, and I had looked down to mark the basket down, and in the time I did that and looked back up, the ball was already thrown down the court and the player was being fouled going in. So the Maroons did not hesitate. They just immediately took it and threw the long pass. To their credit, if they don't do that,
it's overtime, because they were out of timeouts too. So that was the only way they were going to even have a chance to get off a shot.
Right, it was going to be at best a half-court heave if they could get that, because he was fouled with just 1.2 seconds left. And so, yeah, I think a lot of us when that went through were thinking overtime. Unfortunately, I think maybe a couple of the Streaks players might have been thinking the same thing, because we're rushing the basket trying to get that final basket. Denzel puts that in, and then we're trying to scramble back looking at the clock. And I think, you know, our players are probably thinking, keep them in front of us, and then the ball goes over our head. And so you got to give them credit. It was a great play, especially given what they'd been through in the last minute plus when they were just throwing the ball all over the court and getting it stolen. You'd think the natural inclination would be, I better be conservative with this, or Coach is going to kill me if I throw another one away.
After they had just thrown a half-court pass before that, and it got stolen away.
Right.
They did
so
it again.
You know, a bold move, and I honestly, I'd have to see the tape again to even see who took it out from Moline that made the great pass. But it was the play of the game, as it turned out. It set up that, and especially it was easier on the fellow shooting the free throws.
Stabler,
because he didn't have a one. He had two shots, and if you've ever been in that situation, if you're down a point or two, that's a lot of pressure. But when the game's tied and you know you've got two shots, all you've got to do is make one. There's no downside to it. It's all upside. I mean, the worst you're going to get probably is overtime.
Right.
And so he was very relaxed, and that first one rattled around a little bit, fell down. Then he missed the second one on purpose just so the Streaks wouldn't be able to set up an inbounds play and maybe throw it down the court a little farther. So Moline played poorly in the last minute, but they played great in the last couple of seconds.
Yeah, good point. Our final statistics brought to you by McDonald's. I'm loving it, Jim. And this is where we can focus on the shooting numbers, because we had speculated earlier that the Streaks probably had twice as many shots as Moline, and that's exactly how it ended up. You talked about their offensive efficiency. They shot great tonight. They didn't get half as many shots as the Silver Streaks.
Isn't that something?
And yet here we are talking about their victory.
Well, they shot it at a 62% rate, down from the 82% they had at halftime. They were 9 of 11 from the field in the first half, and they spent enough time at the free throw line to make up the difference in the shots they weren't taking from the field. Then they end up the game 15 of 24, so 62% on the game. Meanwhile, the Silver Streaks were getting plenty of shots at the basket. They just weren't hitting enough to get the job done. 23 out of 58, so just a hair under 40% for the game for the Streaks, who, of course, picked that percentage up considerably. In the last minute and a half, we hit four of our last six shots from the field, 9 of 17 overall in the fourth quarter, and just not enough to overcome the doldrums that I think probably best describe our first three and a half quarters of this one tonight, as Moline earned the victory. As Mike Reynolds said, and that's the one thing I hope folks retain from his onslaught against the officiating in the postgame commentary, was he did stop to say, you know, credit Moline. They came in here, they played well, and they had a really good game plan.
Yep.
So don't take anything away, because they really did. They've improved a lot since we saw them the first time, and they'll be a challenge, I'm sure, to Quincy or Rock Island the next time that they play them as well in this conference. So tip of the cap to Moline. And I'm sure it gives Coach Jeff Schimmel a few things to talk about in practice, though, the way they almost folded at the end of that. If Galesburg would have won that game, you know, I don't know that's one Moline shakes off for a couple of weeks. I mean, how would you address the team if you're Schimmel in the locker room if they would have let that? In fact, I'm guessing that locker room was still pretty quiet, even though they won this game. Just those guys probably had to be a little shocked at what transpired here. And I mean, this place with this big crowd, of the roar, and the crowd really, I think, affected Moline, too, down the stretch in this game as well. Students finally got into it. They'd been very quiet through most of the night, but when Grant Gibson hit that three, it just exploded in here. And I imagine Moline back in that locker room has learned a lesson in this one. And it's too bad from the Galesburg standpoint, it wasn't a little more painful lesson in the terms of a loss, as Moline escapes with a one-point win.
Rest of the final statistics from the team numbers. Galesburg, 4 of 18 from three-point range. Moline with 6 of 9. And the free throws, well, Galesburg whistled for 22 fouls tonight. Moline just 9. So, consequently, it'll show up in the free throw numbers. Maroons, 21 of 27. Silver Streaks, 8 of 11. So, they got outscored at the free throw line by 13. Individual scoring, Brandon Weiss led Moline with 18. Jed Wood also in double figures with 16. They had good balance overall. Tyler Biscontine with 8. Derek Stabler with 7, including the game-winning free throw. And Drew Owens had 6. Brian Brinker off the bench had 2. Vashawn Newman did not score. For the Silver Streaks, their two leading scorers both fouled out. Grant Gibson with 17. Joe Williams with 15. Marcus Ross had 9 tonight. Denzel Jones had 7. Carson Cheeseman finished with 4. Ethan Meeker and Trevon Diggins each with 2. Tyson Parks and Ryan Carl did not score for the Silver Streaks, who drop at 57-56. They're 13-12 on the season, 4-2 in the Western Big Six, and they do drop back into a second-place tie with Rock Island, which went on and beat Alleman tonight by a final of 61-42. And Quincy had a big third quarter. UT outscored the Blue Devils in the fourth quarter, but couldn't overcome a 24-9 third quarter by Quincy, and the Blue Devils won it at home 62-52. So the Devils still 6-0 and now have a two-game lead over Galesburg and Rock Island, with visits to Galesburg and Rock Island still to come. So must win now next week for the Silver Streaks. Take a break here on the post-game show. Our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game is up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Just finished your book? Now you need to call your daughter to take you to the library. Ran out of a few necessities? Well, maybe your son can take you to the store after he gets off work. Your buddy invited you and some of your guys over to watch the game. Now let's see, who haven't you bugged for a ride lately?
When you call Handy Van, we'll take you anywhere within the Galesburg city limits and you won't be bugging us at all. If a temporary or permanent disability prevents you from using the city bus or operating a vehicle, allow us to take you. Handy Van, helping you live independently.
Local news and conversations with local newsmakers. The WGIL Evening News with Bob O'Connor, weeknights at 5 on Galesburg Radio 14.
Final order of business at John Field Gymnasium, and a one-point loss for the Silver Streaks is our day's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. And now, we had several candidates, as it turned out, till about the 2.5-minute mark of the fourth quarter. I don't think we had any idea who we were going to go with, and all of a sudden, we get a flurry at the end, and we start picking out guys and saying, well, he could too, but we still came to a decision pretty quickly.
Yeah, because in a game like this, with what transpired, you about have to give it to the guy who made the shot that tied the game and nearly sent it into overtime. Denzel Jones gets the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game Award. He was the one who made that shot and also was the one that stole the ball, and actually his pressure forced problems elsewhere in that final minute of play.
For sure.
So no question, Denzel was a difference maker in this one tonight, and almost a difference to the point of snatching a victory from the jaws of defeat. Still, it's one of those, you know, you're going to go home tonight if you're here and replay in your mind what happened and how did this almost end up in a Galesburg win? It is amazing how quickly those points can evaporate in a lead on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
when things start to fall apart for Moline. And the Streaks, to their credit, played hard down the stretch. But, you know, they've only got themselves to kick when they look back at what they didn't do for the better part of 3.5 quarters that made it so difficult to come back and win.
Well, it truly is a snowball effect. Once it starts going down the hill, it just goes faster and faster and faster until you get to the very end, and mm-hmm. you kind of sit there and everything's a blur all of a sudden. It's like, wait, how did all that happen like that?
But yeah. Well, and, you know, there'll be some that will argue on the foul call with 1.2 left. The officials, generally, they don't want to decide a game on a foul call like that. So you're instructed to be darn sure that it's a foul. Many times you might see officials say, call that a block shot, give it to Moline out of bounds underneath with 1.2 left. They can still determine their own fate without a free throw doing it. That, to me, might have been the better choice because from where I stood, I wasn't sure that we fouled him. We got a lot of ball.
It looked pretty clean.
But that was the call that was made, and that's what stands. So.
All right, well, that's the comment I was going to make earlier that I pulled myself back on and hesitated and said, maybe I won't say that. Was exactly that point of the game so often. And yet there's the other side of the coin that says, foul's a foul.
Right.
Doesn't matter when it is, what the situation is. You foul a guy, it's a foul.
Yeah, and you'll hear, if you talk to officials, you'll get the same differing point of view. I've heard officials say that exactly the same thing. I've heard a lot of veteran officials, though, in interviews say, in that situation, you have to kind of change your focus a little bit because through the course of the game, things can be made up for. But a bad call that you're not sure of right there,
or a bad no call,
is a win or a loss. So tough. I mean, it's bang bang, and it did. Like we said, their inbound pass happened so quickly. I mean, I'm not even sure the officials had much time to get down the floor, much less any of the players.
Yep.
So, again, bottom line, just credit to Moline for a heads-up play that manufactured the win.
A 57-56 victory for the Maroons, who are now 14-9 on the season. They're 2-4 in the conference with their second straight Western Big Six victory. Galesburg drops to 13-12 and 4-2 overall. They're now tied with Rock Island for second in conference play. Our thanks to Nick Simpson at the downtown studios, our broadcast engineer tonight. And our thanks to you for being with us as well. Galesburg's now off till Quincy comes to town next Friday night, a doubleheader weekend with Blue Island Eisenhower in town on Saturday as well. And you think you've seen some offense? Wait till they come to town, because it'll be up and down. But, of course, the conference game's the big one, so we got to worry about Quincy, especially with the nature of the standings the way they are now, with Galesburg and Rock Island both trailing the Blue Devils by two out of first place. For Nick Simpson at the downtown studios, for Jim Lee, I'm Brad Benowitz. Again, Moline prevails here tonight on a free throw with 1.2 seconds left, 57 to 56. Good night from John Thiel Gymnasium.
Thanks for listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL. This has been a WGIL sports presentation.